This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington. Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. It's great to see you again. Last time I was fondly reminiscing about Kriya birthing season, which includes the Kriya watch and some standout stories of missing mums and missing Kriya. it did not bring back the memories. And the feeling of panic and the feeling of delight and the feeling of magic. I love the Kriya birthing time. Most of the time it's straightforward, but you do need to know or at least have some idea of what can happen and how to respond to it. One way to be prepared and to boost your confidence as a less experienced owner is to talk to other people. I think that would include having a chat with your vet. Tell them what's going on and when the Kriya are expected. Tell them what preparations you've already made and check the process for getting hold of someone quickly should the need arise. You could also talk to them about anything extra, anything other that they would think would be good to include in your preparations. This does two things. It helps give the vet confidence in you and your approach, which helps build that relationship. It's a working partnership. It's not that they're the expert, although they know a lot, and they know a lot more than you ever will, about a whole variety of things, most of which you don't need to know about because it's to do with cows and dogs and horses and who knows what. But there are things that you will know and understand about your alpacas that you can help them to do the best job that they can, that develop that working relationship. So it takes time. So bring them into the process. Get some confidence so that they have confidence in you, but also then you have confidence to know how to get hold of an expert to check, is this normal? Or please come quickly. There are other breeders around too that will be happy to help with advice. Know when you're out of your depth and when you need to ask for help. Know when it's beyond your current capabilities and you need a vet to visit as soon as possible. These are important and hard-won lessons. Don't push beyond where you're actually capable. And do be prepared to ask for help. You need to avoid the cry wolf syndrome, obviously. But everyone is on your side here, so don't panic. But be clear about what you need, even if it is only a little reassurance. I'm part of a WhatsApp group for South Wales, South Wales Alpaca Group, and it's a great way to send up a flare to get some quick responses to explain when you need the vet, things to look out for, things to try, and generally have a great team of supporters cheering you on. It really is helpful. A quick sharing of photos and a summary of the situation and the timings really helps people help you. Give them as much information as you can without swamping them. There's been quite a bit of sharing new arrivals and also checking potential problems. It's worth checking with your local alpaca society, wherever you are in the world, and see if there's a group you can join. Find out what's around. Find out who you can connect with. Or check out the Facebook groups, things like Alpaca Chat UK, or a variation for your particular country. In terms of birthing, a book I found really helpful when we first started was ABC, which is Antenatal, Birthing, and Kriya Care. It's about, 30 odd dollars, published in Australia, so you need to be in advance of needing it. You're not going to get it today or tomorrow if you order it now, but be prepared. And it's just a really helpful summary. It gives a lot of practical advice, a lot of things that will, in a straightforward way, point you in the right direction. Doesn't swamp you with too much detail, but it gives enough. I find it really helpful anyway. It's worth a look. And other things would be resources which, like Claire Whitehead's courses at ukalpacavet.com. And that's, if you can, again, timing got to be right, but getting on the course ahead. It was about a couple of months before we had our first careers arriving, and it was one of the most valuable courses I've done. The other most valuable course would be the handling, camelid dynamic handling course. So these things are worth exploring and worth having access to, and you're going to learn a lot by doing so. Take a deep breath. You can do this. In the past, I've also discussed creating your own birthing kit. So you've got the right stuff available in advance and things to include in that. So episodes 13, 22, and 24, I'll put links in the episode notes for you. Interestingly, Homestead Farm Supplies, which are a place where I get a lot of stuff for alpacas, they're here in the UK, but they supply all kinds of amazing goodies for alpacas and other small holding applications, which includes bees and chickens and goodness knows what. So that if you're in the UK, it's definitely worth checking them out. And I noticed they had some lovely little ankle straps. It's like a piece of Velcro, coloured strip with a bit of Velcro. And it just means that you can put it around the foot and then you can be able to be sure who's who and see them quickly. And most of the time, that's not too much of a challenge to work out who's baby's who. But if you've got a bunch of white ones all together and the numbers are starting to creep up, that's a really helpful way of just being able to see quickly which one's which. Who to keep a tracker. I guess, I don't know whether they're the right size, but I guess you could put it on a mum as well so you know which one you're looking at. Difficult to see from a distance, and it's worth just seeing what they've got. Now, in terms of the birthing kit that they supply, they do sell it as a kit, all the bits in there. Even if you're just having a look to see what they've included, it's worth checking out and it will give you an idea. And there's other places too. A general search, just a Google search, will find all kinds of things in different breeders' websites with resources and pages of useful information for this kind of thing. So that's worth checking out. There's plenty of stuff out there. Just need to ask the right questions. With all these careers arriving, owners are now getting to see what genetic magic has been at work. I remember it well. You sometimes are surprised. And the first thing to check is it breathing? Check, clear the mucus around the mouth and all the rest of it, and the membranes. And then we're dealing with the umbilical cord and getting some iodine on there so that it doesn't get infected. We're then just checking everything's okay. Quick check, is it a male, female? What's the colour? And trying to bow out again quickly so that you're not interrupting the thing with the mum. It's going to take a while. Thrushes around in the grass for a while and rubs off a lot of the membranes. Anyway, so you don't have to strip it all off. It comes. And then they'll sit there. They'll eventually roll up and sit and cush and shiver because that's what they do. So you're going through all that whole kind of process, and there's various bits and pieces that you want to be doing. But then step back a bit, give the mum and the career some space. But you're starting to see it's too early. The fleece isn't dry yet. You can't tell what kind of fleece it's going to be. You get a little indication sometimes. And we're very keen, aren't we, to see what kind of colour is it? What kind of – is it soft? Is it fine? How is it? What can we do about deciding to breed next time? Too early for that. Too early. We're just going through the early stages. You're getting an idea of what's going on. But it's this thing of now you're seeing the fruit of the breeding. You're seeing this is the cross between this male, this female, and this is what it's produced. You're seeing something, and it's the phenotype. Okay, it's an expression of the gene. But they have got other genetic material, both the males and females, the dam and the sire. And for another mating, even of the same cross, you might get a completely different result. So that's worth bearing in mind. Don't start reviewing and making decisions too quickly. But it is starting to gather that information. It's not the time to make the immediately at the time of birth. It's not the time to make those future decisions. But it's starting to gather the data. Enjoy the moments. Plan for the future in broad brushstrokes. And remember, recording everything you can as data to inform you later. An example would be, how long are they pregnant? Does this particular mum, does she tend to give birth quickly, early, or does she tend to be late? Does she really go for an early in the morning birth, or is it a little bit later in the day? What's normal for them? You've got to have a number of births. If it's the first time round, you can't easily tell. And if it's the first time for you, then you haven't got any data. You haven't got any records. And I wish you all the best for the new learning and for developing all the stuff and the skills and the knowledge and stuff that you're going to gain. It's an exciting time. It's really special. Make the most of it. Enjoy as much of it as you can. And keep breathing. It's a challenge sometimes to try and do the right thing. You've got to step in. You've got to do something. You sometimes can wait and think and just get in measured, try and work out what's going on. But there are times when you do have to. Now's the time. Step in. Now. But don't rush at these things. So that's conflicting information, conflicting advice, isn't it? Do something. Don't do anything. And both are true. And you're going to have to learn your judgment of what to do in situations like that. But knowing who to contact, you've already talked to the vet or talked to other breeders. You've maybe joined a group. Then there are places you can get the advice when you need it. But in the moment, enjoy and build that level of trust that you will build with your alpacas, with the mums as they're coping with this amazing thing, particularly if they're maidens the first time round. They're going to look to you. They are going to be trusting you. They're also going to be feeling a little bit anxious and wanting to have some distance. So there's some thoughts about the birthing season and where you can get your information. And there's lots of other things that you can be doing while you're waiting, while you're on career watch, thinking about various things, just watching what is happening and noticing what's going on, watching for those behaviours, the visits to the poo pile, the other bit, lying on one side. Kick, you know, they tend to lie, sit cushion down, and they'll just kick over slightly, just lie on one side slightly, because it's uncomfortable. There's an awful lot of space being taken up by this amazing thing. And whenever they're born, I always kind of go, "Wow, goodness me, how did that fit in there?" Because they're long legs, the long neck. It's an amazing experience, and as well as being challenging, it can be, it's also a time for delight. So enjoy all of that. Hope it goes well. Here on the farm, we've been ticking along nicely. The grass continues to grow. We've had a little bit of rain. The lake has been full and stayed full, but it is just starting to drift down a little bit. We had a bit of an incident, a bit of a kerfuffle thing going on in the night. So I don't know if I mentioned about one of the geese, the extra egg that was hatched, she wasn't developing quite right. She wasn't developing as much, as quickly as the others. She was a bit behind. But unfortunately, in the night, we had a visitation from some foxes, and she was taken. So unfortunately, we've lost her. And also the female swan was attacked, so the pair of swans. The female was attacked, seriously injured. She died the following day. That's very sad. We tried to connect with a swan rescue organization, and somebody came. But unfortunately, by the time he was able to arrive, which was only a few hours, we'd already lost her. But and it's difficult because the foxes need to exist as well. And there's all the kind of the mixer of things. But so that's going to be tough for the single male now. He's still here at the moment and hanging around a bit more with the geese. The other two families of geese are practicing their flying, getting stronger. They're doing all right. One of them's got an injured leg, I think, again, from this fox attack. So, yeah, that's a little bit sad. And it's, you know, there's not a lot we can do, certainly when it happened. But afterwards as well, we did what we could, but it's a challenging. It's the nature of these things. So that was just to bring you up to date with that. But the other birds are doing well, the moorhens and the little grebes being noisy and rushing around and stuff. So there's some good stuff going on, lots of bird activity and all that kind of stuff. So if you can, in this fine weather, if you've got fine weather where you are, make the most of it and spend some time with your alpacas. And breathe. And if you're on career watch, do enjoy. Keep your distance. Do enjoy sitting and watching and thinking. And then when the moment comes, enjoy the magic of the births. So take care and I'll see you again soon. Bye for now.
This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.